Aren't you glad for what God's done for you? God's been good to us, more than we deserve. That's what grace is, though. Grace is more than you deserve. Mercy is what you don't deserve. Amen. Would you turn with me in your Bibles tonight to the book of Exodus in chapter number 32. Exodus in chapter number 32. Exodus chapter number 32. Would you stand when you found your place to honor the reading of God's word tonight? Exodus chapter number 32. I want to begin in verse number 1. We're just going to read two verses. We're going to read verse number 1, and then we're going to read verse number 8 tonight. Exodus chapter number 32. Say amen when you found your place. It's Exodus chapter 32 and verse number 1. It says, "And when the people saw that Moses delayed to come down out of the mount, the people gathered themselves together unto Aaron, and said unto him, Up, make us gods which shall go before us. For as for this Moses, the man that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we wot not what is become of him." Now look in verse 7. "And the Lord said unto Moses, Go, get thee down. For thy people, which thou broughtest out of the land of Egypt, have corrupted themselves." I want to read this verse one more time. "And the Lord said unto Moses," what did he say? "Go, get thee down. For thy people which thou broughtest out of the land of Egypt have corrupted themselves." I want to preach on this thought tonight. Somebody has to come down from the mountain. Somebody has got to come down from the mountain. Let's pray one more time. Father, Lord, I pray that you'd please help us. God, I pray that you'd please put your mighty hand upon the service tonight. Lord, I pray that you'd wake us up. God, I pray you'd shake us up. Lord, I pray that you would take away the slumber from our eyelids. God, I pray you'd take away the calluses from our hearts. God, I know, Lord, that, Lord, you are good. God, I know that you desire to speak to us. So, Lord, I'm asking tonight one more time that you do it yet again. God, I pray, Lord, that we would take this service as seriously as we could. If it may be the last service that we may ever be in tonight, we don't know. Lord, you may come again tonight. So, Lord, I ask that you'd help me to preach like it's the last time I ever preached. God, I pray that you'd help us and revive us again. God, we'll thank you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated tonight. I want to preach on this thought tonight, coming down from the mountain. Coming down from the mountain. I believe, and I have a burden tonight, that we need some Christians tonight that are going to be willing to come down from off of the mountain. The Lord has laid this message on my heart this week after especially seeing our kids at the youth conference this week. I know many couldn't be here today. There was some traveling, some of them. Mainly go to Awana. Their family doesn't go to the church services regularly, so I understand that they're not all here, but to be honest, I'm not preaching necessarily to them. I'm preaching to those that are here tonight, right? Friend, I thought of this. The Lord gave this to me, especially after watching the kids this week at this youth conference, and really, to be honest with you, it was a great mountaintop experience for most of those kids. From what I heard and what I was told and what I talked to them, friend, there was a great moving of God in those services there between the singing and the praising of God and the preaching of God. And there's just something about getting together to go to God's house and to worship Him, even when it's not on a Sunday. I mean, there's something special about that. And they had a mountaintop experience. One of our chaperones said that the kids told him on the last night, "We don't want to go home. We want to stay. We want this to go on." And I think that's a great thing. A friend, one of our kids gave their heart to Christ, and another one of our kids got assurance of his salvation. And I pray that the others received a revival and a charge from this. But they had a mountaintop experience, and they did not want it to end. I don't know about you, but I've experienced some things like that in my life. And friend, whenever you get those experiences, they're good and they're great, and we don't want them to end. Friend, I was able to go up there Tuesday night, and they had Tuesday day, and they had a service that morning that was a wonderful service, one of the best that I've been in many years in my life. I've longed for a service like that. And they got up, the singer sang, and there wasn't any fleshly emotions or parading. They just sang the praises of God, and three songs later, friend, the presence of God came down, and there may have been people not touched by that, but I began to shed tears of joy at the very thought of God's love for me that was displayed on a cruel and a rugged cross. And I have to say, God privileged me to have a little mountaintop experience this week. And I don't know about you, but there's nothing I love more than whenever I can get inside the presence of God and feel His joy and His love and His power and His glory in my life. Friend, can I say there is nothing wrong with a mountaintop experience in the lives of Christians today? I've heard many people say it, and I'll just be honest, it bugs me. They say, that person is so heavenly minded that they're no earthly good. Friend, I think most of us are so earthly minded that we're no heavenly good. We're no good to Christ and our Savior because we never get minded on things above. And friend, one of the best ways that God allows us to set our affections on things above is by giving us mountaintop experiences in this life. Friend, they ought to be a part of the Christian life. We ought to get from time to time a great glimpse of God's glory and power so that we are constrained by that to keep pressing on toward the mark, not to give up and not to give in, but to keep marching on. Friend, I think that it's good today that we have mountaintop experiences. Is that right or is that wrong? I told my wife today, we were headed down the road, and I told her what I was going to preach tonight. And I told her I was afraid to preach a message on coming down from the mountain because it seems that I preach to so many that act like they've never been on the mountain to begin with. Friend, I was afraid to preach this because some of you act like you've never been up on the mountain, and you need to get up there first before you preach on coming down from there. Friend, can I say the mountaintop is a good place to be? I want you to realize today as a Christian that God beckons you to find your place on the mountain of prayer with Him in the presence of God. You realize today that God desires not for you to live a mundane and a gray Christian life, but He wants to meet with you. He wants to make His presence known. Believe it or not, He wants to be at church with us today. Friend, He'd like for us to praise Him, to get in His presence. He'd like for us to come expecting a mountaintop experience in our lives. Friend, I'm not afraid to say that I pray every single time I come into these doors that God would give us an experience like that. Friend, I understand it don't happen every time, and I understand that there's times that it may be more dry or that it's not the place for that. But friend, can I say it's okay to pray and expect the presence and the glory of God to fill this place. We need mountaintop experiences in our life today. If you go your whole life as a Christian and never get a mountaintop experience, you have really missed out. Amen? Moses, that's what he had been doing now for 40 days in Exodus 32. Moses had been living for 40 days in a mountaintop experience. I had one the other day about 40 minutes. He got one for 40 days. He was upon Mount Sinai. And there he stood before the Lord God of Israel, and he had a wonderful mountaintop experience with Him. Friend, you need to realize that God was the one that had called him unto the mountain. If you go back in Exodus chapter 19, from Exodus 19 all the way to Exodus 32, Moses had been on the Mount of God with the Lord. There had been times when he went down shortly, and then he came right back up. He went down, and then he came back up. But ultimately, the whole time of these chapters, he was there on the mountaintop experience. In Exodus chapter 14, we find that's when Israel was saved. In Exodus 14, we find the Red Sea and their deliverance through the Red Sea. Friend, you know, and I preach this, that the Red Sea is a picture of our salvation. God parted the waters of the Red Sea. The bondage was on one side and freedom was on the other. They went down into the water and they came up alive again on the other side. A picture of our baptism in Jesus Christ. In Exodus 14, they got saved. In Exodus 15, they began to sing the song of redemption. They said, "Praise the Lord for great things that He hath done." You're thankful today that when you get saved, God gives you a song in your heart that you never had before. They said, and I'm sorry, I don't mean to keep mentioning it, but I can't help it. When Aaron got saved, they said he left with a better smile, a different smile than he ever came in with. That's because when you get saved, God gets on the inside, gives you a song that was never there before. In Exodus 14, they got saved. In Exodus 15, they got a song. But in Exodus 16, it says they began to pass through the wilderness of sin. That was the literal name of this wilderness. It was the wilderness of sin, S-I-N. Friend, that's a picture of typically exactly what happens in our lives as Christians, is it not? During this wilderness journey in the wilderness of sin, it says that they began to murmur against God because they had no water there. And it was there that God had to chastise them. Isn't that just like when we get saved? You remember when you first got saved? God gave you a song in your heart. You were thankful to be redeemed. You were thankful to be made new, a new creature. You didn't understand everything that God had done, but you knew He had done something great. And then a little later on, your song began to wear off, and you got down back into the wilderness of sin. You were saved, and then you realized that you're still struggling with the same sins that you always used to deal with, and you realize that you're not in heaven yet. You're still down here, and there's times you go back to that murmuring, but then there in Exodus 15, in Exodus 6, they not only went down into the wilderness of sin, but they began to battle with the Amalekites. They were a picture of the flesh. You remember when you got saved and you realized that there was a battle that began in your heart. It wasn't just all songs and roses, but it was wildernesses, and it was battles of the flesh. But friend, it was in Exodus chapter number 19 that God called Moses up to the mound. You know what I love about this? I see this in my very life. I see the salvation. I see the song. I see the wilderness of sin. I see the battle with the flesh. But God did not leave them there. But God came to where they were when they were battling with the enemies. And He brought them out of the wilderness of sin. And then He brought them into the wilderness of Sinai. And it was there that there was the Mount of God, Horeb, the Mount Sinai. And God called Moses up into that mount. Friend, aren't you thankful today? God doesn't leave us alone with our flesh. God doesn't leave us alone with our sin. But friend, once we're saved, God calls us and beckons us to come to where He is and to get in His presence. God did not save you today to leave you alone. Is that right? Friend, God did not save you and then say, "See you on the other side." But God desires to meet with us. And yes, He is with us every day, but He wants to show us His glory in special ways in our lives. God didn't save you to take you to heaven. God also saved you to take heaven to where you are. If you're waiting to experience the riches of Christ until you get to heaven, you're waiting too long, because you can have it now. That's what the mountaintop experiences are about. When we go to God and heaven comes down to where we are and God meets with us. When's the last time you met with God? Church is miserable if you don't come here to meet with God. Miserable. I feel sorry for you if you've come here for years and you've not met with God. This ought to be a place where we come into the presence of God and we expect something and we pray and we humble ourselves and we forsake our sin and God meets with us. And if it's not that place, then you're going to live a miserable life, a miserable church life, a miserable Christian life. If we don't desire to meet with God on the mountaintops. In Exodus 19, they pass from the wilderness of sin to the wilderness of Sinai. In Exodus 19, verse 3, it says, "Moses went up unto God, and the Lord called unto him out of the mountain." In Exodus 19 and verse 20, he said, "The Lord came down upon Mount Sinai on the top of the mount, and the Lord called Moses up to the top of the mount, and Moses went up." In Exodus 19, verse 24, he said, "Thou shalt come up." In Exodus 24 and verse 1, he said, "Come up unto the Lord." In Exodus 24, 12, he said, "The Lord said unto Moses, come up unto me in the mount and be there." You know what I love about that? He said, "Come up and just be here for a minute. Let me do the talking. Let my glory fill the mount. Don't try and work up your emotions. Don't try and shout it out. Just come and let me do all that. And you just be there." Aren't you thankful for the times whenever God calls us to worship Him and He tells us to do nothing but just be there. Just stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. He said, "Come up," He said, "and be there. And I will give thee tables of stone and a law and commandments that I have written that thou mayest teach them." And then in Exodus 24, 18, we read again, "Moses went up into the midst of the cloud and gat him up into the mount. And Moses was in the mount 40 days and 40 nights." What a wonderful experience this was. He had been up and down, and then he got to go up for 40 days and 40 nights. Moses saw more of the presence of God in those 40 days than he had ever seen before in his life. Moses no doubt learned more about the Lord God than he ever had before in his life. More was made real to him, and he understood more in those days than he ever had then before in his life. What a wonderful experience it was. Before I preach on coming down from the mountain, I got to preach on getting up there. Amen? What's up there? Number one, God's glory is up there. When you get on a mountaintop experience, you say, "How do I know what it's like?" Number one, God's glory will show up there. You say, "I don't believe it works that way." Friend, if God ever does it in your life, you'll understand exactly what it means when the glory of God fills your soul. It's not a physical cloud that you can see, but it's something you can definitely feel. Friend, salvation is not something that's felt. Friend, it's something that's performed in our heart. But friend, I'm thankful that there are times that God allows us to feel the glory of our salvation. Friend, I've been in services and I've been in my truck. I've been at my home when the glory of God came down in prayer and began to fill my room, began to fill my head, began to fill my heart and my spirit and my soul. Friend, it was so thick, I felt like there was no room to move. Friend, if it's been a long time since you felt that glory and the presence of God, maybe we ought to pray for God to fill us up again with His glory that cannot be cut through. He said the glory of the Lord appeared unto him in Mount Sinai. In Exodus, there in chapter 24, verse 16, the glory of the Lord abode upon Mount Sinai, and the cloud covered it 6 days. I'll just be honest, I long for the glory of God to fall down on our services. I'm so glad our kids got to go to some services this week. But friend, God doesn't live in Pigeon Forge. God don't live at the tent meeting. God doesn't only show up there. Friend, this is as much of a place for God to show up at as anywhere else. Friend, I realize that God passes by in His timing and in His plan and in His way. But I can tell you this, if it's something we're never praying for and never expecting and never living for, then I can guarantee you it won't happen then. We need His glory. Number two, what else happens up there? It was a place where the law of God was revealed. It's not all just shouting and hallelujahs and praise the Lord. There's more to be learned on the mountaintop than that. From Exodus chapter 19 to Exodus 23, 24, God showed him His moral law, the Ten Commandments, the ceremonial law. God wasn't up there just to show him His glory. He was up there to show him His morals. God showed him what He wanted. You need the mountaintop experience not just to come down and tell everybody how great it was. You need to get up there so you can realize how what God thinks about the sin in your life and so you can come down and do something about it. The Ten Commandments were given up there. Let me say this. I've heard many people talk about great services and there no doubt have been many great services, and there have also been many services plumb full of emotion. How do I know the difference? If you did not get a better understanding of God's holiness, and if it did not make you want to be more like Christ and be more holy like Him and please Him, then it probably wasn't the real thing. That's usually where amen goes right there. We can leave here. We can shout about how great it was. That's all great and all. But if you don't address the sin in your life, it meant absolutely nothing. God's presence ought to make us shout. But if we got sin in our lives, it ought to make us weep. It ought to make us want to do something about it. It was a place where the law of God was revealed. Number three, the mountaintop experience will give you a desire to grow closer to God than ever before. Not just to know about His holiness, but to want to know Him. In Exodus 33, Moses went back up on the mount, and it was there that he met with God. And he said, God, will you please pass by me? I want to see your glory. And God hid him there in the cleft of the rock and put his hand upon him and passed by. He wouldn't let him see his face, but the hinder parts of his glory he revealed unto him. And Moses got to know God in a way that he had never known God before. Boy, I long for that, for God just to pass by our way, just to show us I know he can't show us all of it, but I wish that we would pray for God to give us a glimpse of his glory. You learn, number one, there's glory up on the mountain. Number two, the law of God is revealed on the mountain. Number three, there ought to be a desire to grow closer to God. If you leave and you say, that was a great service, that was a mountaintop experience, but you've not left with more of a desire to serve Christ and walk with Him, then it was nothing. Number four, it'll help you to understand the character of God. Friend, that's why we preach God's Word. That's why God ministers to us through His Word. In Exodus chapter 33, whenever Moses went back up and he met with God again, God came down to him and the Lord said unto Moses in verse number 19 of 33, he said, I will make all my goodness to pass before thee, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee, and will be gracious to whom I will be gracious. Then he said in Exodus 33, he said in verse number, 34 and verse number 4, the Lord descended in the cloud and stood with him there and proclaimed the name of the Lord. And the Lord passed by before him and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, that will by no means clear the guilty. You know what he was doing? God was teaching. Yes, the glory was there. Yes, the shouting was there. Yes, the brightness and the cloud was there. But in the meantime, God was teaching him about himself. He realized the graciousness of God, the goodness of God, the truth of God, the holiness of God. If being in God's presence is real, you will walk away having known more about who God is in your life. You'll learn more about the character of God. Then lastly, the mountaintop should make you shine. It should make you glow. You ought to leave with a glow that wasn't there before. When Moses was in the presence of God and the glory of God passed by, when he came down from the mount, his face shone so bright that the children of Israel couldn't stand to look at him. They had to put a veil over him. Friend, I pray that we'd leave our churches with such a brightness about us that when we get to work, the people at work can't stand us, because we're so full of God. They wish they'd just throw a veil on us, because we annoy them because of the light of Christ. When's the last time we got around our coworkers and actually annoyed them? Not because we're being annoying, not because we're being rude, but because we love the Lord and it's evident in what we say and what we don't say, what we do and what we don't do. When's the last time we left this place with a glow? When's the last time you left your house with the glow of God upon you? Friend, the mountaintop experience will do these things. It's a great thing. Moses was up there 40 days. Had to have been the best time in his life, don't you think? But he had to get back down. Ain't that the hard part? The same God who beckoned Moses to get up was the same God who beckoned Moses to get back down. Exodus 32 and verse 7, the Lord said unto Moses, go get thee down. I love to preach God's Word. I feel really, most of the time, every single time I get to preach, feels like a mountaintop experience for me. I could preach I could preach every night if God let me. I would preach every day. I would preach as much as God would allow me to preach. But the truth of the matter is this. God's called me to preach, and that's a great thing. But it ain't all preaching. It ain't all the fun part. There's parts of the ministry and the life that God's called me to live. That's not the mountaintop experience. And friend, I'm sure it's the same way. We love God's house. I love to come here. I love Sunday morning and Sunday night and Wednesday night. I love when we meet and we fellowship and God shows up. But friend, the truth of the matter is it's not all mountains. God calls us to get back down and to use what we've learned and bring it out into the world and do something with it. If it were only mountains, there'd be no point. Also, if we only had mountains, then there wouldn't be mountains, would they? If it was all mountains. Friend, there's got to be valleys for there to be mountains. Friend, we need some people that'll get down off the mountain. Everybody's looking. Truth be told, I pray for mountaintop experiences, but you ought to be very careful as a Christian not to look for the next one. When's the next one? I'm ready for the next one. Because you're not focusing on what you're supposed to do in the meantime. What's God called us to get down from our mountain and do? He said, get down, the people's corrupted themselves. There's a bunch of people living down there in sin, and they need somebody to go tell them what's right and what's wrong, and who is on the Lord's side. How about the next time you go into work, march in there and say, who's on the Lord's side? Friend, how about the next time we get around people, we stop playing games with our testimony and come down from the mountain and have that shine, that glow upon our faces. Moses got down. He had to get down there and rebuke sin. He had to get down there and set leadership straight. He had to get down there and pray for them. I love the prayers of praise, but we also have to pray supplication. He had to pray for them, and then he had to keep going. God gave him other mountaintop experiences. But Moses didn't spend his whole life looking back at that one and saying, wow, what an experience. You don't read about that. It was onward and forward. There was another place for them to be. I love the mountaintop experiences, and I will always cherish them. But if we're living our life staring back at them and looking and longing instead of getting where God wants us to be, then, friend, it ain't going to do us no good. Somebody's got to get down from the mountain. We got to get down from the mountain and do something this week, this month, this year. Get down in the ditches and the trenches and witness and organize and pray and study and ask God to help us. We need some people willing to get down from the mountain. Hey, once you get up there, it's hard to get back down. You don't want to, but you got to. But the same God that is a God of the mountains is a God of the valleys. Friend, the only difference between the mountain and the valley is the mountain you go up to get with God, but in the valley, it's where God comes down to get with you and to help accomplish the work of the Lord. Elijah had a great mountaintop experience on Mount Carmel, but he had to get down after that, and he realized Jezebel was still after him. Friend, the disciples had a great mountaintop experience when Christ was transfigured before them, but they had to go back down after that. And friend, we must do the same. It'll only get more precious the next time we get to go back up. I want you to bow your heads and close your eyes. Musicians are making their way forward. Brother Tweed's going to lead us in a song of invitation tonight. I ask God to help me preach as if it's the last time, and I'm asking you to imagine this may be the last service you'll ever be in. We ought to live as if Christ died this morning, rose this afternoon, and he's coming again this evening. I pray God will give you a mountaintop experience, and then I pray God would help you to get back down and serve him. These altars are open tonight. Father, thank you, Lord, for this privilege to preach your wonderful, wonderful word. What a beautiful word you've given us. God, I pray for our church. Lord, I pray for my heart. Lord, let it begin with me. Lord, I pray you'd meet with us. God, I pray you'd minister to us, and then I pray we'd turn around and minister to you. Lord, we'll be careful to give you the praise. God, we long for your glory. God, we long to see you as Moses longed for it. Lord, if you must hide us in the cleft of the rock, Lord, I pray you would. Lord, help us to eagerly and earnestly expect for you to visit with us. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You can remain seated with your heads.